Unfortunately, we have to begin with sad news. The Triangle area is still reeling after yesterday's deadly mass shooting in Northeast Raleigh. CBS News has been reporting on this. Five people shot and killed around the Neuse River Greenway, including an off-duty police officer. The suspect is in custody. He's a juvenile, so his identity has not yet been released. Much more on this at the top of every hour with CBS News, also on our website, chapelboro.com. Other crime news, a Hillsboro man was arrested earlier this week for an attempted armed home invasion in Burlington after investigators identified him by a finger he left behind. The incident happened last week Thursday. Authorities say the man tried to force his way into a house on Sellers Mill Road, but the resident slammed the door on his hand, severing part of his finger in the process. Authorities used prints from the severed finger to identify 67-year-old Vernon Wilson as the suspect. He was arrested Tuesday. His next court date is set for November 1st. Other sad news, WNCN reports a 72-year-old Hillsboro man died in a vehicle crash in Durham on Tuesday. Authorities say David Fox was killed after he crossed over into oncoming traffic and collided with a truck. That crash is still under investigation. Now in Chapel Hill, where town officials are weighing the possibility of taking over control of Franklin Street downtown from the state. That conversation continued Wednesday night at this week's town council meeting. 97.9 The Hill's Brighton McConnell has more on what they discussed.
Although the town of Chapel Hill maintains the sidewalks and curbs, the street is owned and maintained by the State Department of Transportation. That means any changes to the road itself must be approved by North Carolina, a process that often takes longer than if approved by the town council. If control of Franklin Street is ceded to Chapel Hill, the town would take over basic operations like the regular resurfacing of the road, snow removal, control of bicycle lane designs, and stormwater infrastructure. On Wednesday, town staff said Chapel Hill would also then be able to more drastically reimagine how Franklin Street is used. Transportation Planning Manager Bergen Watterson described the main sticking point as the two governments having different philosophies for the famous street.
We consider this is our downtown, this is a destination, it's a vibrant, people-centered place, and DOT, it's a road, it's a throughway, a way to get from one way to another.
Councilmember Amy Ryan described the task at hand from her perspective as two elements to determine. The first is how to create a vibrant streetscape for downtown visitors, while the other is determining whether that space is heavily focused on foot traffic compared to vehicle traffic. She said to ultimately achieve both of those, Chapel Hill would likely need to rely on the more expensive options presented by staff. Councilmember Jessica Anderson agreed with Ryan's points and was one of several officials to express hesitancy recommending taking over control of the entire road in the immediate future. Anderson said that grappling with the ultimate vision for downtown should be done first.
I think figuring that out and figuring out how Franklin Street can be the place we really want it to be, I think is an exciting opportunity. But I think the taking over the street or not is the decision we make later when we decide whether we need to in order to get to that place we really, really want.
Councilmember Camille Berry agreed with that assessment, saying conversations with the town and NCDOT indicate that eventually receiving ownership of the road would likely not take much convincing to the state. Because of that, she said there should be more work done on the town's side to develop specific goals and projects.
We can make the offer anytime and they jump at it. And I'm glad that others see that we don't need to jump just yet because we don't have a plan. And in fact, we don't have a plan for the plan. And I think that's what we need.
Chapel Hill Town Council members indicated that the Complete Communities strategy, which is being developed by world-class urban planners, should help the town council with its approach of reimagining Franklin Street. Councilmember Michael Parker said with those intentions in mind, the elected body may be better informed to ask staff how to examine transportation, pedestrian access, and effects on businesses when considering changes to Franklin Street's layout.
It's a lot to do with the intersection of mobility with design, you know, with looking at it at a minimum, you know, the three major east-west streets plus all the north-south collateral streets, and figuring out, you know, and doing good modeling. So if we do anything that reduces flow on Franklin anywhere, what will be the impacts elsewhere, and can we sustain it?
Part of the staff's presentation was early data from community members about their vision of Franklin Street. The town is running a survey gauging interest in further change, safety measures, concerns, and more. You can find links to that survey on chapelboro.com. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Brighton McConnell.
In Durham, State Attorney General Josh Stein will meet with county leaders at 10 a.m. today to highlight local efforts to fight the opioid epidemic and discuss how Durham will be using its portion of a $26 billion settlement. It will technically be a special meeting of the Durham County Commissioners. The county sheriff and district attorney will also be on hand. Speaking of county commissioners, Orange County commissioners recently heard from the Chapel Hill, Carrboro, and Orange County school boards about a variety of issues facing the schools. One of those issues is an unusually low fund balance in Chapel Hill, Carrboro. After paying out $5 million last year in state and county mandated teacher raises, board members say the district's fund balance is down to $5.5 million, not enough to cover those raises again without more county support. Here's school board member Risa Jenkins speaking with 97.9 The Hill.
So when we talk about that fund balance amount, we actually had to use about $1 million of our additional fund balance to make sure that we also covered and matched what the state did for our certified teachers. So again, that's only $5.5 million to continue to pay our current teachers. When the governor does the budget again, and of course does raises again for teachers, that's going to be more than $5.5 million. We have estimates of anywhere that our continuation budget could be between $7 million and upwards of $9 million. You know, staffing is critical. Without teachers, how are we going to operate our schools? Without bus drivers, without teachers' assistants, without OTPT staff, without ECTAs, you know, it's a little hard to deliver and educate students without the people who do it. Our budget season, you know, it's a cycle. So as soon as we finish one and the state approves the budget, we're starting another one. So we're already starting to do the preliminary work. I would encourage the public to take a look and participate and attend and watch some of our budget discussions in March as we put out our budget, and encourage everyone in the community to advocate, not just here locally with our county commissioners, but our state actually has a lot of power in terms of funding. So please advocate with our state and, of course, our federal team as well. They can do some work. We've got some great representatives up in D.C. for us. But definitely, please, please, please get out there, advocate for funding for our schools.
That's Risa Jenkins speaking there. Get the full conversation in the News on the Hill section of our website, chapelboro.com. In business news, the Just Salad restaurant on South Elliott Road has closed its doors permanently after just 2 years in operation. The chain has three other North Carolina locations, including one in Western Raleigh. And finally, today is the deadline to register to vote if you want to vote on Election Day this year. If you miss today's deadline, you can still register and vote on the same day during the early voting period. That begins next week, Thursday the 20th, less than a week from now. Time is 6:19. Time now for sports, brought to you this hour by Olmaz Jewelers. UNC football is set to take on Duke in the battle for the victory bell 8 p.m. tomorrow night in Wallace Wade Stadium. Freshman quarterback Drake May will look to continue a stellar season that's already winning lots of awards. Yesterday, the AP named him as the top offensive player in the ACC through the first half of the season. We'll have all the action tomorrow for you right here on 97.9 The Hill. Pregame coverage starts at 5 with Inside Carolina Live. Football is tomorrow, but today's a big day for UNC sports as well, beginning at 3 p.m. when the top-ranked Tar Heel field hockey team takes the field to host Syracuse. At 6 o'clock, UNC volleyball hosts Boston College. That's in Carmichael. And at 7 o'clock, second-ranked UNC women's soccer hosts Wake Forest on Dorrance Field. UNC men's soccer is also in action tonight on the road, but not too far away, down at NC State, beginning at 8. Of course, basketball season is just around the corner, too, in the ACC held its annual tip-off event in Charlotte earlier this week. With more on what we heard from UNC folks, here's 97.9 The Hill's Michael Coe.
Last year, the UNC men's and women's basketball teams had more questions than answers in October. This year, both are seen as contenders for not just a conference championship, but a national championship as well. Head coach Courtney Banghart is entering her fourth season leading the women's program and is poised to have a preseason top 25 ranking for the first time in her tenure. It's easy to see why. The Tar Heels returned four starters from last year's 25-win team, which advanced to the Sweet 16. One of those starters has effectively become the face of the program, junior guard Deja Kelly. Kelly was named first-team All-ACC as a sophomore and scored 23 points in UNC's season-ending loss to eventual national champion South Carolina last March. Now that she and many of her teammates are entering their junior seasons, Kelly said she expects the Tar Heels to take the next step in 2023.
We've been here before. We kind of know what it takes to reach the goals that we want to reach. And knowing that we put in the work together over the summer and the off season, and just knowing that we have that experience under our belt now and that we are not babies anymore. So I think that that definitely will set us apart.
Banghart was careful to emphasize the differences between last year's team and this year's. But the former National Coach of the Year winner also laid out her goals for how Carolina can both equal and surpass its success from 2022.
My hope is that they find their connectedness in the same way they did last year, in their own unique way, but in the same result, and then that they stay committed to the journey, because this is a really tough league. You know, we've got NC State, Duke, Virginia, and Virginia Tech twice, right, plus everyone else in the conference. And so you just can't get too up and too down. You just got to keep getting better, okay, right? And I think that that's going to be my mission, is to keep them focused on that, and that's going to be their job as experienced talent to know that, you know, it matters that you're playing your best basketball late. So just keep going.
On the men's side, head coach Hubert Davis's group is seen as a likely preseason number one. It would be Carolina's first such ranking since the 2015-16 season. The projections are a stark difference from last season, when Davis's team struggled early, quickly fell out of the top 25, and spent most of the year unranked. Now, Davis said he is instructing his team to keep doing what it did toward the end of last season. Ignore the noise.
The things that I have talked to the players and the team a number of times daily is that there's negative noise, and that's criticism, and there's positive noise, and that's praise. Even though they come from different directions, there's still noise. And to focus on what is real and our preparation, our practice, and at the end of the day, that we'll be happy with the results at the end of the season.
Junior guard Caleb Love is one of four starters who chose to return to Chapel Hill this season. Love has already secured his place in Carolina lore with clutch shots during the NCAA tournament, and said the championship loss to Kansas is still firing up the team more than 6 months later.
We kind of want to write our own story, and, you know, this is a new team, this is a new age. For us to, you know, go out this year and, you know, do what we got to do, knowing with that, you know, what happened last year, we're, like, more motivated than ever.
Now that the ACC tip-off is over, it'll be almost a month before the men's and women's teams begin their regular seasons. Both made headlines during last spring's NCAA tournaments, but both also ended their seasons with a loss. The goal for 2023 is simple. Don't let that happen again. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Michael Coe.